Right, can we open our eyes now?
Not yet.
Seriously? It's been like 17 hours.
Okay. Now.
It's a field.
He's going to murder us.
Nothing.
No, sillies, behind the field.
The nuclear power plant?
Yeah!
No. Nope. No. Not. No.
I bought it. Come on.
No.
Nuclear power. Way the future. We're going to make fortune. No.
I quit the show.
You quit a lot.
I'm in.
See? That's the spirit. Tom gets it.
Eli, none of us know anything about a nuclear power plant. And this seems incredibly dangerous.
Come on, we'll figure it out. Five best friends working together.
We are not best friends.
Cecil, I know you're upset by the situation, but don't lash out. Say untrue stuff, right? Not now. Right here, in this moment, while we're all celebrating our...
Fuck, what was that?
No idea. It keeps going off. Hell of a noise, though, right?
We're gonna kill so many people. Not best friends, by the way.
Where do we put the coal?
I think the top.
Welcome to Citation Needed, the podcast where we choose a subject, read a single article about it on Wikipedia, and pretend we're experts, because this is the internet, and that's how it works now. I'm Noah Illusions, host of The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, and The Skeptocrat, and I'm here to move this episode along, because our panel is essentially a herd of cats with access to microphones and Google Docs. So let me introduce to you first my two co-hosts from the shows I just mentioned, Heath Enright and Eli Bosnick.
Thanks, Noah. You're part of my sexual fantasy, too.
What?
Appreciate that.
You guys have access to Google Docs?
Yes. And from Chicago, the host of the Cognitive Dissonance Podcast, please welcome Tom and Cecil.
Oh, yeah, like a cat. I also have hair everywhere.
And I'm like the Grinch, but it's my penis that's two sizes too small. I probably shouldn't have advertised that. I'm not real good at this.
That's not bad. Also, like the Grinch, watching children celebrate Christmas helps it grow. There's a whole bunch of it.
Oh, God.
Just watching.
This is
just watching.
You have a whole hard drive of just watching.
All right, so I know we're all really excited to dive into someone reading bullet points from Wikipedia to all of us, but we should take a moment before we start to thank all our wonderful Patreon supporters for this show. Seriously, without you, this show would not exist, and I evidence that by the fact that we don't have you yet, and the show doesn't exist yet. So, Tom, what person, place, thing, phenomenon, or concept are we going to be talking about today?
Well, in the interest of cheerfulness, today we are going to discuss the Chernobyl disaster.
Because of Easter, I get it. Okay, Cecil. I presume you've read the article and you're ready to ramble?
Like Robert Plant.
Hell yeah.
For those in our audience under the age of 85, Robert Plant was a musician back when ugly people were allowed to play guitar. It was a simpler time.
We let you sing on our shows,
That's
Eli.
Fair, actually.
That's very fair. Yeah. No.
You ever seen Joe Cocker? Jesus Christ.
Mama. Hey, that guy's tongue is glued to his face. That's fine. Put him on stage at Woodstock. Mama, wow. Are you on heroin?
So, at the risk of distracting Eli there, Cecil, why don't you tell us all about the Chernobyl disaster, since we're all cheery and laughing anyway.
So, it all starts in the early morning hours of April 24th, 1986. I was getting ready to go into high school, and Eli was not born yet.
True facts.
And all was right with the world still.
Well, yeah, we're right.
Again, simpler times. Yes.
In the Chernobyl plant, just outside the town of Pripyat, in the former USSR, they were conducting a test on reactor 4. And in very simple terms, they wanted to cover a cooling gap that is created during the emergency shutdown of a nuclear reactor.
All right, give it a month and fixing the cooling gap is going to be Sean Spicer's new name for climate change.
Is anybody else amused that this story begins with people attempting to behave responsibly? I mean, this is why I actually avoid responsible behavior at all costs. This is what causes nuclear disasters.
Something tells me that's not exactly going to be a consistent motif here, Tom, but we'll find out.
So the reactor uses its power for cooling while it's running, but when it shuts down, it needs to have another power source to keep it from blowing up. So they use these large diesel generators for this. They'd be started in 15 seconds and then they'd get up to speed in about 45 seconds or thereabouts.
I'm sorry, thereabouts? Probably don't want to have that word in the manual for a fucking giant Holocaust machine that splits atoms in defiance of God. What the fuck? Thereabouts?
Hey, Boris, how much uranium?
Fucking ballpark? A bunch. Like a shitload.
Okay. Like this much? Tell me when stop. Tell me when stop.
Do it thereabouts. Stop thereabouts.
We run nuclear power plant.
So, like I said, there's this 1 minute gap there, and that's the that's where the problem comes in. This is like an unacceptable amount of time for your reactor. It's completely unacceptable amount of time. So,
how much time is acceptable for your reactor less to explode? Than a minute.
Less than a minute. I found this out. So, the theory that they're using is basically they could use the steam turbine as it ran down under residual pressure to run the coolant pumps for 45 seconds. And that's enough time to get the generator sort of up and running.
Look, I got to clarify. They built a fucking nuclear reactor. Yeah. And then they test the theory about what they should do if something goes wrong. And they test it while it's running. Like, oh, guys, oh, let's see if this were. Oh, nope. No, that everyone's dead now. We just.
Right. This is the problem you solve before you build the nuclear plant. This is not a manage on the fly situation,
right? It's at least if you don't solve it before you build a plant, at least before you turn it on.
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's running now. What happens if we turn it off? Oh, probably blows up and kills us all.
So to test this, they had planned to slow the reactor down and then get the pumps running. Just to see if a slow reactor would be able to run the pump.
To see.
What's happening? Yeah. I get the feeling some guy just kept asking about stuff like this ahead of time. He's like, hey, should I check to see if nerd?
Just constantly.
Stop being such a negative Natasha, Sergi.
So to get this snowball that turns into a fucking giant avalanche started, the test was supposed to happen during the day shift when there was more competent people there. But because there was a problem with another plant, the Chernobyl plant had to pick up the slack and they were not in a position to lower the power to do the test. And the night shift had very little time to prepare for this particular test.
Yeah. Again, I got to paraphrase here just so I understand. So they created an emergency to test to see what happens in an emergency using their least competent staff members.
Yeah. Yes.
Then I got this. Okay. I got to fucking continue.
Isolate the variables.
What could go wrong?
Again, nuclear plant. I feel like you want all competent people, right? Like 100% of the people at the nuclear plant should be great at their job. It's not Quiznos. Like, you don't want Dave who stands at the other side of the oven and just spreads on the guac. As part of fission.
Did they think they were like winning something? Like, all right, we're up like 50 nucleers to nothing fourth quarter. Send in the B squad for the snaps. They'll be fine. Whatever. What's the worst thing that can happen? We lose 15-14. You know.
I believe it's pronounced nuculars. Nuculars, Heath.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, so they start this test right after midnight. And this is where the Wikipedia article actually gets really complicated. And in fact, too complicated for a half an hour podcast. But in summary, they lowered the power. And because some of the reactions, the power dropped well below the 700 megawatt range. So they decided to manually get the power back up to the proper range to do the test. And while they were doing that, they started ignoring cooling alarms. Again, this is way more complicated than I'm summarizing it. But the gist is it is suspected that they ignored them because they wanted to increase the power sort of back up to the level that they actually needed.
Okay. I'm no nuclear physician.
You sure about that? You're not? You last night?
But I feel like ignoring cooling alarms is key.
Yes.
Like
an important variable.
Me and Tom would be like, that's a bad sign. We should stop this.
Guys, we can finish talking about Fight Club in a second. Let's deal with this alarm in the nuclear power plant where we are physically.
You know, I ignore a lot of things. Deadlines, court dates, high blood pressure, right? But I don't ignore fucking warnings at nuclear power plants.
What?
I just don't.
I run into a ditch and take cover when a low coolant light comes on in my car. Fuck that. They need me. That's what they need. Just every power plant needs a me.
So then as part of the test, they added some more water to the pumps and increased the coolant temperature to like a dangerous level. Then the power was still not where they needed it. So they shut off two pumps and they started to remove the rods manually. And the rods I'm talking about here inhibit nuclear reaction. They're called control rods. And at this point, all but the 18 fail-safe rods were removed.
And then everyone took off their safety suits and released wild animals into the plant. What the fuck is happening?
So then there was this feedback loop that had to do with steam and how much less it absorbs neutrons than liquid water and how quickly the reactor is heating up, causing more steam, absorbing less neutrons, et cetera, et cetera. And at a certain point, either they hit the giant oh fuck button, which is also known as the EPS button, or something else happened and it lowered the control rods, the ones that inhibit the nuclear reaction, back into the reactor. So all the ones that were taken out sort of went back in, but they didn't go all the way down because they fractured partway down and it did not look good for Homestar Runner. You shouldn't put Homestar Runner in charge of the reactor.
Right, yeah.
That's number one. Yeah.
Not twice. Yeah.
I made you this nuclear reaction.
For those who don't know, Homestar Runner was the first cartoon ever on the internet. It was a man talking to himself and drawing four pictures an hour. There was a racist wrestler. We enjoyed him. He answered emails, which were like texts for old people.
So the instruments at this point didn't really register exactly what happened.
They're too busy being on fire.
Well, because it shot up. The last sort of thing that they were able to recover was that it shot up to 30,000 megawatts thermal, which is 10 times normal.
Oh, wow. So, okay, let me guess. They were then able to use all that power to cool everything off and bring the reactor back to normal, and everybody lived happily ever after.
Well, I don't want to spoil it, so why don't we take a short break for everybody's favorite mid-episode use of interstitial music, apropos of nothing.
All right, sounds like a plan. I will play the theme song, then I'll run upstairs and get my PJs, brush my teeth, and we can finish this delightful bedtime story after the skit. Okay, guys, I keep telling you this over and over again, but I cannot work every shift here. I've been manning these pumps since last Easter. Parts of me are starting to slough off, parts of me that I need.
I keep telling you, we got this.
You've got, to, really, no offense. Look, I trust you fine, Cecil, but these three?
Yeah, well, they're the night crew. They don't actually do anything.
Hey, come on, man, I'm right here.
What is your job title, Tom? The actual, I just want the fucking actual title.
Yeah, nuclear plant worker.
Nuclear plant worker? You're the principal radiological safety engineer.
Yeah, so I work at a nuclear plant. Nuclear plant worker.
Sounds about right. Are they giving you a hard time again, Tom?
Yeah, man, they don't have any faith in me.
All right, well, did we bring up our issue?
No, not yet.
Dear God, what issue?
Hammocks.
Guys, we have been over this. We are not getting hammocks. You can't sleep at work.
Strong disagree. Proved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to sleep here, but the hammocks will help.
Thank you. Exactly.
You guys, we have to test the emergency coolant system tonight. You cannot be asleep.
You know, because I'll just do it.
No, you can't do it, Noah. Your eyes are bleeding. You can't run a nuclear plant single-handedly forever. My God. I'm not even sure how you're still standing.
Yeah, look, I've got this, guys. I totally got it. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? The reactor core could overheat. An out-of-control chain reaction could occur, and a massive cloud of radioactive dust could blanket Europe.
Yeah.
He seems upset. I think he needs a hammock. Nice. And we just brought that up.
We are seriously going to die.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking around to hear the end of this wonderfully uplifting story of human error. Cecil, when we last left our heroes, there was a very exciting narrative of water cooling things.
Riveting, I know. So let's speed things up a bit. Kaboom! Well, more like kaboom! 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, louder kaboom!
For those younger listeners, kaboom is an old people word for explosion.
Only old people use kaboom?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
what are the kids saying?
They don't say anything to Snapchat it.
Exactly. They put it on Facebook Live. Too soon? I didn't even say Cleveland. Like, we all thought Cleveland, but I didn't say it. So I don't know how it could be. I didn't say it yet, though. I said it now. But I feel like I was...
Well, but by the time anybody hears this, it won't be too soon anymore. So I think you're okay.
Exactly. It's just perfect. It's perfect timing now.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
We should just record everything with Eli years ahead.
All right. So you were saying something about some awesome sounding kaboom.
Yeah. So the first explosion was from steam, and that blew the 2,000-ton plate through the roof of the building. And then there's the second one, which terminated the nuclear reaction, which started a graphite fire, according to some. And then there's also a note on Wikipedia that the graphite didn't burn in the incident. And I'm going to leave that up to smarter people than I to make that call.
Okay. Below 100 atmospheres, graphite turns directly to gas, so it doesn't really have a melting point. But at 100 atmospheres, it melts around 4,700 Kelvin. Now, nuclear meltdown tends to max at around 3,100 to 32. Oh, I'm sorry. You when you said leave this to smarter people than you, you didn't mean me at all, did you? Shit, I'm sorry.
Did Lucinda help you with your homework again?
Just Lucinda titrating in the other room. 3,200, Noah. 3,200.
Pretty sure graphite doesn't burn that hot. It was clearly the Jews who did this.
I agree. Reactor fuel doesn't melt graphite beams.
That's a part of some bizarre Chicago version of Rochambeau, or are you just expressing the opinion?
It's fuel, graphite, black person, right? That's how Eli plays it.
I said I was dropping the Cleveland thing, and then you throw it right back in my face again.
Okay, so after the explosion, the roof of Reactor 3 was lit on fire, and as you can imagine, there was a large release of radiation, but because some of the radioactive detectors or dosimeters were defective...
I'm just picturing a pterodactyl who whistles like the Flintstones.
It's a living.
Well, because they're defective, the person running the operation, his name was Alexander Akimov. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, didn't think that the reactor itself had been breached. So many people continued working throughout the whole night and none wore protective gear. And most of them died in about 3 weeks.
Wait a minute. I got to back up again. So just a 2,000-ton plate blew off of a building. Yeah. And this fucking Alexander guy's like, everything's probably fine, guys. Yeah. Back to work. That guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that was the smaller explosion. Yeah, I mean, when you can make out the terrified faces of the pedestrians below your plane, maybe it's time you just ignore the altimeter, Alex. Pull up.
That's an awkward morning rally the next day, trying to lead a chant. Everyone's too weak to move. We are Team Korchenko, and we are the... stop losing hands. This is gross. You're all grossing me out.
So the firefighter crews start to show up to put out the fire, and some of them don't know and think it's just an electrical fire and not a problem with the reactor.
A natural assumption at a nuclear power plant that, again, just blew up twice.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they showed up at all. If I were a firefighter, they would have been like, something at the nuclear plant? Nah, I'm going to let them work it out.
You know what? With these sirens on, people get out of our way. I'm driving the wrong fucking way.
Picked a hell of a day to retire.
So when the thing went kaboom, as I said earlier, the graphite exploded and caught on fire or didn't catch on fire. And there was radioactive graphite laying around. And some of these firefighters are kicking it out of the way and others are picking it up and commenting on how hot it is. And that guy's dead now. But in any case, the fact, a lot of them are actually dead. Yeah, a lot of them are actually dead. And they literally killed themselves by putting these fires out so Reactor 3 didn't fail.
Cecil, I know you're trying to like paint a tragic picture, but these characters keep acting so super casual about the nuclear plant being on fire, just picking up shit they don't recognize, stirring their tea with it. I'm saying this is a little on them. This is a little on them.
In Soviet Russia, radio activates you. I've been waiting this whole episode to bust that out. I was really pleased with that.
So the rest of the world doesn't know that this is happening, of course. And pretty much the rest of the USSR is also in the dark. That's power plant humor. I'm totally killing it. Until on April 28th, a radiation alarm goes off in Sweden.
You're fucked up when the radiation alarm goes off in fucking Sweden.
Place, right?
You're like, oh, it's like when the smoke alarm goes off when you're cooking a steak. You're like, God damn, fucking things are oversensitive.
And for Eli, steak is tofu that tastes good. So,
got it.
And screamed its name before it died.
Okay, so I know that thus far this has been all real disastery and not at all uplifting. So let's take a minute or two to talk about some real heroes. Their names are Alexei Ananenko, Valery Bezpolov, and Boris Baranov. See, so there's this huge problem other than the melting down reactor. The problem was that there was a bunch of water that accumulated from the disaster and from the firefighters, and the core had melted the graphite and all the surrounding material into what they call a corium, which is basically radioactive lava.
Oh, I know this. And these three were the reigning floor is hot lava champions, right? Like they were fucking awesome. Couch cushion to couch cushion. No worries. Nobody could stop these three.
No worries.
I just feel like if you can't do this without radioactive lava, we aren't there yet. Am I crazy? Am I Jill Stein? I feel like this just all needs to stay on paper until we have a zero radioactive lava situation.
Nerd, we're doing the lava. Moving on.
So this corium is slowly burning its way through the floor of reactor 4 because it's basically a fucking neutron star.
Right.
And the problem is that it's on a collision course with this water that is collecting underneath it. And if it reaches it, some speculate that the explosion would be way worse than what happened already.
Oh, good. More speculating. Yeah, they should try running an emergency test. Maybe that'll help.
This is literally the first time this ever happened in history. So these three guys, they step up and they volunteer to open these sluice gates that are holding all this water in manually. They have to, of course, enter this radioactive water in wetsuits. Then they get to the drain and they were able to avert disaster or more disaster, yeah. I guess. And what happened to them is a point of contention, actually. Some reports have them dying right there. Others they say that they got radiation poisoning and died shortly after, like a couple of weeks. And others have them living into their 60s.
Yeah, and in my version, they become princes of the unicorn kingdom. I mean, fuck you, U.S. They died right there.
They're in a farm upstate. They're fine.
I'm just saying, if that last one's true, there's a chance I'll live less time than the guys who rode a water slide through radioactive lava. And that is not okay.
Well, shouldn't have eaten so much vegan cheese.
That guy is literally covered in green glowing. And he, I need you to worry about your journey. And that means more exercise.
So they also try to extinguish the core at this point or to slow it down. And they dropped 5,000 metric tons of sand, lead, clay, and boron onto the reactor from a helicopter.
It's a big helicopter.
Yeah. Eli, describe what you're picturing right now. Is it a football field sized helicopter filled with clay?
Yes.
So now there's a bunch of radioactive debris all over because remember the graphite I was talking about earlier and the handless firefighter. Anyway, something has to get done with that. So they tried to use robotic and remote controlled stuff. But the radiation was way too high and that shit just totally stopped working.
Yeah, the sensors just kept going, danger, Will Robinson, and catching on fire.
So what do they have in a large supply that they don't care about?
Freedom. Is it freedom?
International laws.
Very small rocks.
Tamagotchis.
Churches.
well, some of those answers may have been accurate, except freedom and churches. What they really had in abundance that they didn't give a shit about is people. So they put people in suits and they had them work for 40 seconds.
Measured, incidentally, as one British foreplay unit.
I'm the king of the Brits at three. So,
I like a three-quarter unit kind of guy. So in all the ways.
So they put them in these suits for 40 seconds at a time. They actually put them up on top of the building for 40 seconds at a time. And they're exposed on this roof of the building to the bulk of where the debris is. And, you know, there's a ton of radiation up there. They actually called them bio robots.
They renamed them. Yeah, I like that they took the time to rename the disposable humans. Like, what do we call them? Why do we call them Alexander? Yeah. Like, that's his fucking name. No, we need a name for these bio robots. We're going bio robots.
44 seconds and you die, but I've got badges. You're a bio robot and you're a bio robot.
Come on, guys. They gave these guys medals after it was all done. They were called the Liquidators. They gave them all medals.
Yeah, the medals melted when it touched
these
guys.
Yeah, right. They were called the Liquidated. Yeah.
So once the bulk of that work's done, they needed to make sure that the rain wouldn't get down there and, you know, blow up the world. So they had to cover this whole thing up. And they undertook the largest civil engineering task in history with 250,000 workers who had all reached their lifetime limits of radiation to create a large concrete sarcophagus to keep the toasty, gooey center nice and dry.
Hot pocket. Also known as a Chicago-style solution to the problem.
At least we cover our garbage, dude.
Mr. Owl has his work cut out for him.
How many licks does it take? The stuff that they dumped on top of the reactor actually melted into one of the basements and formed this weird column. And it's called the elephant's foot. And they found out about this thing with a remote camera. It's actually partially made of this brand new material called Chernobylites. And it was created by dumping shit on the core of a melting reactor. Yeah, right.
Some guy at a meeting trying to put a positive spin on it. Just, you hear that, Dave? Brand new material, huh? That's pretty cool. Made of brand new material.
Yeah, I give this 5 years before De Beers markets this as the only material that proves you really super duper fucking love it.
Right? Enough to go below the concrete dome.
Is it made
Chernobyl?
Of Chernobylites? No. I wanted princess cut elephant feet. Bitch.
This elephant foot is actually really crazy. It's so radioactive, it is essentially like a Medusa head. It gives off 10,000 wrenches per hour. And that means if you're exposed to this thing for under a minute, you've received a fatal dose of radiation. And if you stay down there 2 minutes, you start to actually hemorrhage.
Jesus. How did they figure that out? Just like, it's like a frat pledge down there doing a keg stand. Okay, that's 1 minute. I'm dead now. That's 2 minutes turning inside out now. You guys writing this down? Data cut?
So the radiation at this point now in with the elephant's foot is not nearly as bad as it once was. There's actually people who have taken pictures of it. But initially, this thing we made, you could look at it and you would die. Humans are fucking terrifying. There's a lot more to this, of course. The area was doused with radiation and it was around 100,000 square kilometers. There's a spike in thyroid cancer. Piglets were born that look like something out of a Guillermo del Toro movie.
Idris Elba. Just a bunch of sexy ass pigs walking around. Yeah, right. How are you doing? God, I want to fuck that pig. I'm not even gay and I want to fuck that pig.
Jesus. So there's also a large number of abortions because of it. They suspect that 150,000 elective abortions were performed on possibly healthy babies because of the disaster.
Finally, some good news. Oh,
Jesus right? Christ.
Yeah, so it gives radioactive half-life a whole new meaning.
Oh, fuck.
I'm picturing a fetus monster like Voltron coming together.
Except for it doesn't wield a sword. It has like a giant umbilical cord whip.
There you know,
like smacking people with it.
Exactly. Like Mickey Rourke made of fetuses. He's just kicking it.
I think he is made
of
fetuses.
What do you think he's made of now? Yeah.
Exactly. At this point, they put the range of deaths from the incident around 10,000 to 200,000, which is a nice sized error bar.
Yeah.
To be real honest. Real. Some people think that this was actually the start of the fall of the Soviet regime there, or this was the cause of its downfall. They say that the government dissemination on the subject made people distrust them, and it changed the relationship with government and the people. I didn't cover all that in detail because it seems like that's the effects of what happened, and rather than just the disaster itself. And in fact, we could probably do a whole episode on the effects of the disaster.
Awesome. All right. So if you had to summarize what you learned, what would you say?
Well, I would say when Doc Brown asked for 1.21 gigawatts, don't skimp on the fucking gigawatts. Also, don't conduct tests on a nuclear reactor while it's running. That's like experimenting on the different propulsion methods from the bus from the movie Speed after it's already reached 55 miles an hour.
All right. Well, you read a whole article and gave us ample material to joke around about, but can you survive the gauntlet of questions by our panelists on Chernobyl related trivia?
Well, like a Ukrainian firefighter, I'm ready to die trying.
You bet your ass you are. Okay. Well, Tom, why don't you start us off here?
All right. Cecil, when designing a nuclear power plant, what pieces are not absolutely essential, but highly recommended? A, functioning radiation detectors. B, pre-tested safety systems. C, a competent staff. Or D, Chernobylites, biorobots, and elephant feet.
I have no idea what C even means, so I'm going to pick C.
Ouch. Yeah. Ouch. Ouch. I'm not staff.
No, you're not. You're fired.
No, actually, it is Chernobylites. It's always Chernobylites, and it will always be Chernobylites.
Cecil, which of the following is a real attempt to clean up and contain Chernobyl? A, was it graphite fetch with the least popular shelter dogs in the area?
Oh, no!
B, a giant magnet at the bottom of a mixing bowl. C, sawing around the plant in a circle and hoping it would fall through the hole into space. Or D, a giant metal arch to slot over the concrete.
Definitely D.
Yeah, it's fucking D. Because that concrete's not holding up. So they're going to put a fucking Winnebago over it. And we're letting the Russians just figure it out on their own. Putin wants to send some reporters he doesn't like to check it out.
All right, Cecil, I got one for you. What's the best way to defund nuclear power plants in the United States? Is it A, publicize the fact that Hitler had a nuclear program? B, publicize the fact that Hitler did not have a nuclear program? C, both A and B, plus swallow your body weight in gum? Is it D, make a sting video of Planned Parenthood growing Dr. Manhattan out of stem cells?
When I read that earlier, I thought you were talking about like a sting video, like Fields of Gold.
That's
like,
what I did too.
I was talking about that. That's exactly what I meant. Or finally, was it E, vote for the Green Party instead of Hillary Clinton? What's the fucking worst that could happen?
It's E. It's sadly E.
I don't want to talk about it, but I'm pretty sure you're right.
Okay, Tom, well, you had a question our expert couldn't answer. Who gets to be our expert next week?
Well, because I enjoy watching Eli spit fire in apoplectic rage, I volunteer him as tribute.
Sounds fair. So we are still not live with the show, and we're not doing a real favorite Twitter answer yet, but I really like this tweet. At DRIL said, please do not say top notch to me unless you want to spend hours explaining what the fuck these notches are and who determines their hierarchy. So I figured I'd just throw that out. Once we go live, we'll have a whole thing here, but until then, we don't. All right. Well, for Heath, Tom, Eli, and Cecil, I'm Noah thanking you for spending at least half an hour with us. Bill, next week we'll be back and Eli will be an expert on something. If you'd like to hear more from Heath, Eli, and I, check us out on The Scathing Atheist, God Awful Movies, and The Skeptocrat. If you want to hear more from Tom and Cecil, check out their one third as many shows as us, Cognitive Dissonance. We want to thank our patrons once again. And if you would like to become one of those people that makes this endeavor possible, visit patreon.com/citationpod and join up for a per episode donation. For more info on how to contact us, check out our show notes on our website at citationpod.com. So until next time, this is No Illusion saying keep hitting random on Wikipedia. Eventually you'll find boobs.
Connor McMurphy is a Boston firefighter that plays by his own rules.
You broke out my windows and ran the fire hose through my car, man.
Yeah, well, next time you won't park in front of a fucking fire hydrant.
Yeah, but you flattened all my tires, you took an axe to the motor, you lit my car on fire, and did you pee on it?
Hey, don't tell me how to do my fucking job, asshole.
But sometimes, when you buck the system bucks back.
I can't keep covering for you, McMurphy. You let the old folks' home burn down.
But Chief, you're the one who hired the Chinese guy as a dispatcher. I didn't think it was that big a deal if a few old forks melted.
I got a trance for you, McMurphy. You're a goddamn loose cannon.
And in Kiev, he will meet his greatest challenge.
We have fire at Chernobyl again. Call more fire station.
You don't need no more fire stations, Boris. You fucking got me. Now get in the truck before I slap you around.
And he'll be pushed to the limits.
Someone save my kid!
Give me your goddamn hand!
Bah.
Or your paw, or whatever that thing is.
Bah.
Claw!
Bah.
Knuckle!
This summer...
Get the fucking hoses.
I don't think water on nuclear fire is a good idea.
Hey, don't tell me how to do my fucking job, asshole.
Mark Wahlberg is the last American firefighter.
Now give me your hand. Or your claw.
Bah!
Toes? Huff! Huff! It's Huff, I got it.